You can ride through Irvine. So the Newport Beach streets are important for virtually every cyclist here in Southern California, including myself.
Well, that's my guest today. That's April Morris, designating April the Bicycle Advocate of the Year here on CDM Cyclist. April, she's done a super job raising funds for the Bicycle Safety Improvement Fund here in Newport Beach. And there, at the beginning there, her comment about the importance of Newport Beach streets, because she's not even a resident. But she stepped up to the plate big time this year to make the biggest contribution of the year in terms of bicycle advocacy. This show, this time together, April and I, a way to recognize her terrific efforts. And this show today, it's sponsored by BikeTiresDirect.com. Bike tires, of course, but so much more. Check them out, please, BikeTiresDirect.com. Well, April, she played a huge role in bike safety here in 2012. It'll be interesting to see what unfolds in the new year. Let's listen.
April Morris.
You are wrapping up a huge fundraising effort. How did you get involved?
It all started the week after two women cyclists were hit and killed in Newport Beach, but it was a string of three consecutive days, three women hit, two of which died, and one was in critical condition. Just after that, the cycling community had sent out a notification that the Bike Safety Committee meeting was meeting on a Tuesday evening, and they suggested people attend that to voice their support of improved bike safety. So I attended it. I understand typically 10 people attend that meeting, and there were about 160 cyclists who showed up, and it was a very emotional meeting. That's where it all started. You could see the cycling community wanted to come together as a group, but nobody was really sure what could be done or how it could be done, which is why after the meeting I approached the mayor of Newport Beach and suggested she put on a memorial ride for the women who lost their lives.
Now, April, you're not even from Newport Beach, though, so why did you feel so strongly about getting involved in something several towns over?
Well, that's a good point. I am not from Newport Beach, but I ride the streets of Newport Beach all the time. It's a beautiful area to ride. You can ride all the way to Long Beach. You can go to San Diego. You can ride through Irvine. So the Newport Beach streets are important for virtually every cyclist here in Southern California, including myself. So I knew I could get this done if I had the right support, so I stepped up to the plate and volunteered my time to get it done.
Have you ever done any fundraising on a scale like this before?
I have never done anything like this before, no. But I wasn't afraid of it. I know that I can get these kinds of things done, so I stepped in. And once the city called me back to say they would support it, we put the wheels in motion, and we started what was, for us, a brand new process from ground zero.
And then you had to create a website to make all this happen. Did you have much experience doing that?
I have done several websites, but the first website we started for the memorial ride was way too difficult to maneuver. So we jettisoned that and started another one, and that had to be done right away. So we got that moving very quickly so that people could go on the web, they could understand when the date was, which was the 28th of October, what we were trying to do, the fundraising, how we were trying to raise funds, which was selling t-shirts and things like that. And we got that done in about 24 hours, but it was a monumental effort, and I'm very glad we did because we got so many people with hits. I was getting 200 emails a day on what's going on, how can we help, what can we do.
And then your website has a donation button on it. Where do those funds go?
We worked with the city, and the city was very quick to put this up for us. They did it in about 48 hours. So when you click donate on our website, it actually goes to the Secure Cities website. The city has set up a special fund, which allows your donations to be tax deductible. So when you click on donate, it goes to the city's secure server, and your credit card information or your check, if you send a check in, is processed directly by the city. We don't touch the money.
And the fund's still open, right?
It's open till the end of the year. It's actually open past that, but open till the end of the year with the city matching 3-1. So we also have an Amazon.com affiliate link on there. So Amazon pays us a commission for anybody who links from our site onto Amazon and then buys something.
That 3-1 match, I remember when I first heard about that, that like jolted me right out of my chair.
Well, I think it jolted everybody. Originally, when we first started this process, there was no city match. And then during the first week or two, we heard from Councilwoman Leslie Daigle that the city was contemplating a two-for-one match. Then when it went to committee to the city council, it actually ended up as a three-for-one match, and we were elated. And I think, if nothing else, that put a lot of wind in everybody's sails, because somebody giving a $25 donation was really putting $100 in. So people could really get into that.
So you didn't really have to work the political process. The political process really fell right in line for this fund, huh?
You know, it actually did. I think the city was recognizing that they needed to do something on the streets to improve bike safety. And now we had, you know, the cyclists coming together and the community coming together. So the three, the city, the cyclists, and the community, all three C's came together on this one in a very quick and efficient manner.
So cities across the country are starting to pay attention to what we've accomplished here, because with the 3-to-1 match, we're up over $300,000 now. And it all looks kind of easy, was it?
No, in fact, it wasn't easy. It was a lot of work. I would probably say I spent more than 18 hours a day on this, because first of all, it was the first fundraising I'd ever done, and it was myself and Joan Littauer, one of the other women that rides with me, that we pretty much put all this together, organized it. We had a lot of help from people, volunteers who would do graphic arts for us. We had people who were doing screen printing for free. We had the people who were donating the t-shirts, but you had to put all this together. You had to take them the t-shirt orders, get the credit cards processed, and figure out a mechanism to get all these t-shirts delivered. And this all happened in less than 4 weeks, from the time this started to getting everything printed, ordered, delivered, and the ride organized and put together. So it was a lot of work.
So the ride itself added a lot of momentum to the whole fundraising process, right? People wanted to come out and come together, and it kind of bootstrapped the fundraising.
Well, I'd say it definitely did. I think initially, my definition of a successful memorial ride was 250 people. And people were saying, oh, 250, you think you can get 250? Well, we reached out to groups. We reached out to groups like the Velo 605 or the Orange County Wheelmen or the Tri Clubs or Wind Team Racing and people like that. And then they would spread the word as well. So then about 2 days before the ride actually was going to happen, I was getting so many emails from people responding they were going to be there. We were at about 650 people the morning of the ride, which made some logistics a little more difficult. But in fact, when the ride started, the police stopped counting at 1,200 people showing up, which means they indicated there was probably closer to 1,800 people on this ride, which was, it was fantastic. I think everybody was shocked and moved by this whole display of camaraderie.
And in terms of momentum, our elected officials were there that day, and they see the crowds coming out, and that has to move them too, huh?
I think they can see that it's not just two or three cyclists wanting a lane improved. I think they can see not only were there more than two or three cyclists, but as I pointed out to the members of the council as well as the cycling community, we had donations as small as a dollar from kids saying, you know, please, my parents ride bikes, please help them. We had people out of state. We had people out of the country. So it wasn't just, it was primarily local, but it was very touching to see the depth at which this touched people, kids, families, moms, dads. It was amazing.
And then you did a auction event. That kind of like bookend the whole process?
Yeah, what had happened was when we were out fundraising, I called a lot of companies, lots and lots of companies, and many companies were happy to give a cash donation, but some would give an in-kind donation. Well, when you're just working with two volunteers and you've got this monumental task, we did accept some of the in-kind donations, and we used those at the raffle at the memorial ride to raise funds, and I think our raffle raised $5,000 or $6,000, which was awesome. But then we kept getting people giving us things. We had, you know, people were giving us bikes, and they were giving us things you couldn't find anywhere else. We were getting, like, Brown Jordan was giving us furniture, and what are we going to do with all this? We're getting trips. So we decided we'd put together a silent auction. Once again, we had a very short timetable because you're going into the holiday season, so we knew you couldn't do it in December, and here we are, it's October the 28th, and we have a month. So we decided to do the auction November the 29th, and we actually used a local bike shop, Surf City Cyclery, donated their location for us, and they moved all their bikes out. And we made it a multi-bike shop event so that all of the bike shops could send to their email groups a notification of this. So we actually had some reserve bids on some of the bicycles that were there. So all the bike shops who were participating had the ability to bring one or two bikes if they wanted. And we had a live auctioneer who volunteered his time. It was a lot of fun. We sold signs, we sold furniture, we sold trip, we sold everything. Everything, we didn't sell all the bikes, but we sold pretty much everything else. All of it sold. We did sell several bikes, so.
Were you nervous when you woke up that morning and it was raining?
I was. I said to myself, first of all, I'd gone to get the PA system, and we only had 125 people who had signed up to come. So I went to get the PA system. I had them test it for me so I could make sure it would be okay. And they said, yes, this will work for 125, 150 people. If it gets more than that, well, we don't know. So that morning, we had 125, and I didn't know it because I also teach, and so I came right from my class over to where the auction was being held. And during the day, apparently, since it was raining, many of the people who were going to go watch their kids play soccer or something else couldn't go there. So we ended up, unbeknownst to me, because I didn't have access to my computer, but we ended up getting another 90 people during the day say, we're going to be there, we're going to be there. So we had about 220, maybe 250 people who showed up at the end. So it was very successful.
And all of this being matched by the city 3-1. Have you ever seen anything like that done before?
No, I have never, ever seen anything done like that. I mean, 1-1 matches I've seen, I've heard of those, but I've never heard of 3-1. I think it's generous, very generous on the city, and it goes to the fact that they recognize they want to get something done, and they want to see how serious people are. And I think they now see that they're serious. I mean, we've raised over $76,000, but when you look at how much money in total before some of the expenses, like some of the bikes that had reserves, we were probably about $85,000 that came through. So it's a pretty good showing.
So that, if somebody were going to try and do what you have done, that's a critical component, huh?
It is a critical component. And in fact, you know, I think something like this could be done on a very large scale, not so much, not dissimilar to the Ride of Silence. The Ride of Silence is held every year in May in various cities throughout the country. But I think you could hold a fundraiser once a year nationally where all the bike shops knew it was going on, and maybe you rotate it between some of the bike shops and you just have a national biking day or something where you can have this kind of an auction or something at a local bike shop. Everybody would know it's coming out. You do it in advance of the season. You take a look at, you know, what you might be able to sell. It could be a very, very interesting idea.
Not everybody is crazy, though, about the idea of, you know, to some extent it looks like the city reaching out to tap the citizenry to fund some version of public safety. You got those kinds of objections, too. What else?
I got those objections, and I also initially got some objections from people thinking I was trying to monetize the death of the two women, which was totally untrue, and I positioned it to them this way, that if I could do anything to prevent another death from happening on the streets of Newport Beach, that was my goal. And I didn't know any of the three women who were hit or who lost their lives, but I do know from everybody I've spoken to that they would have been proud of what we are doing and what we did do and what's happening with the money. Matter of fact, the one woman who survived, Betty Bustrom, has already written me. She's very touched by the fact that on the hit list for most cyclists is fixing one of the intersections, the one where she was critically injured on. So I think all in all, it's been a very good thing for everybody.
When you're talking to people, let's say you did some soliciting one-on-one, what was your sales pitch? Did you have to talk about like specific changes or improvements that people wanted to see?
No, I didn't have to talk about those, although I do think that if I were armed with those, I might have had better success in certain cases. But I basically painted the picture, and most of the businesses in Newport Beach were very accommodating. We had some very high-end restaurants giving out gift certificates. We had the Balboa Bay Club willing to give us, you know, a brunch and a night stay at the Balboa Bay Club, because people realize this is the citizenry. No matter whether they cycle, they ride a car, walk, they frequent these places, and it's not good for anybody to be losing people for things that we can possibly prevent from happening in the future.
One aspect of the tragedy
There was a young woman. There was a more mature woman. She was a doctor. She was in a network of other doctors and had many patients. That had to be a fruitful network to penetrate.
Yes, it was a fruitful network to penetrate. Although, once again, you know, we had so many people. We've had hundreds of people giving donations. But yes, they were very helpful in terms of donating, and they were helpful in supporting it, because a lot of the doctors that work at the same places that Dr. Kit Campion worked also ride their bikes, and they know that some of these areas are just not that safe. They need improvements.
Now, it was two women fatalities the day prior. Betty seriously injured at a locale that everybody knows was dangerous. Three women involved in those tragedies. Then you and Joan come along. It's starting to look like an all-woman effort there. That had to have helped. That opened doors, that created opportunities for you when you were fundraising?
I don't think of it that way. I don't even think of myself as being female when I'm talking to people. It's more of the cycling community. But the fact that there were three women hit on three consecutive days is just one of those, it's a rare thing to happen. And it, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, it does open doors, because people will listen to that. It's a heartfelt plea, and it's real. It's factual.
All right, so we're right on the verge of the city making its 3-to-1 match. And then the next question is, what are we actually going to do with the money? You're still in touch with many of the people who donated. What advice would you have for the city as they contemplate, you know, how they're going to disperse those funds?
Well, I think on the fund, I think we need to make sure that we have somebody who is representing the citizenry that got the fund started. And my comments from the cyclists who are out there indicate that the two places they'd really like to see improve would be the pinch point at Dover and the pinch point at Bayside Drive. Both of those were involved in either one was the accident where Betty was seriously injured, and the other one was a fatality for Sarah. Those are very frequent bike paths for most cyclists moving, either going to the beach or up and down New PCH. And I think, you know, I think there can be some changes there. And then beyond that, we can look at other things that can be done to the extent there's money left over. But I think those are the top priorities that need to be assessed.
So advice for those listening who would like to do something like this in their communities. There probably is an opportunity to reach out and tap the cycling community. You've proven that people will reach into their own wallets to add to, you know, public safety in their communities.
First of all, if you're lucky enough to have time to plan this out and you don't have the misfortunate situation that we had, which was the deaths and the injuries, I think the right thing to do is to get the cycling groups together and do a poll. Where in your community do you see improvements that need to be made? And if you can get buy-in, if you can get the top two or three items and you can figure out what it's going to cost to fix those, then I think you have a really good plea to go out not only to the cycling community but to other businesses and try to do something like this. Because a lot of the cycling groups I know have, they raise funds from their members. They either put on rides or they sponsor rides. And there's some good ways to raise funds for things like this. And some of the rides, they give money to charities, but they can always split that. They can do charities plus safety, because it doesn't help to donate to charities if the riders are being, you know, injured or, you know, unfortunately killed along the way. So I think you could do a better job than I did if you had time to do it by reaching out to the group to begin with, so they knew where the money was going, and having the city or municipality, whatever the case may be, come up with a match program just like we're doing in Newport Beach.
So the bicycle community came out in force right after the tragedy. And maybe it's just because of the holidays are upon us, the crowds dwindle at the Newport Beach Bike Safety Meeting. I suppose that's natural, huh? Do you think we'll see a resurgence? Will people come back out when we actually start discussions of where the money should go?
I think what will drive people to the Bike Safety Committee meetings is if you say, we want to hear from the constituencies about, you know, what are your priorities and what would you like to do? We'd like to make a presentation to the cycling community about what we're going to do and get your feedback. they need to feel involved. And it's nice to be in the audience to hear what goes on, but to the extent there's any way you can reach out to them or solicit their contributions, I think that would be very helpful. And I think they would react. I think they would be there.
April, can we switch gears for a second? Let's talk about you. What's your background? You approach this with quite a business-like level of competence, which I believe you didn't just happen the day you decided to work on the fund. Tell me a little bit about your background.
I am, by training, a CPA, and I worked for one of the major accounting firms, and then one of my clients hired me away, so I was vice president of finance and on the board of directors of a New York Stock Exchange-listed company. I left that company in 1996, and I've been pretty much out on my own, either doing consulting or working with some of the buyout funds or investment funds on some of their portfolio companies, trying to help fix them.
And as we said, you're not a resident of Newport Beach, you are...
I'm a resident of Anaheim, city of Anaheim, California.
Do you see yourself getting involved in bicycle safety in your own hometown?
I would like to. As a matter of fact, I think we've started the process. Frank Peters and I have sort of started the process to reach out to some people who might be able to help us in that regard, because I can tell you that from where I sit and the roads I ride on in Anaheim, the bike lanes are deplorable, so they definitely need help.
There's room for improvement everywhere you ride, huh?
There is, unfortunately. There definitely is.
Well, April, you've done a fantastic job, and I know cyclists everywhere across California, you know, they do ride through Newport Beach, and they owe you a debt of gratitude for the work that you have done to improve safety and raise it up to the level that you have. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. I hope this becomes a national movement, because it's a great sport for people who want to keep in shape and just get out and have some camaraderie and have fun.
Thank you, April.
You're welcome. Thank you, Frank.
Well, we're back in the studio, and once again, that's CDM Cyclists Advocate of the Year, April Morris, joining me on the show today. And of course, I've got many exemplary people appearing on the show from time to time, so come by the website. It's cdmcyclist.com. And from time to time, people ask me, what does CDM mean? It's a little neighborhood here, my little neighborhood. It's part of Newport Beach. It's called Corona del Mar, Crown of the Sea. And I use the blog to talk about my bike rides, my touring adventures, and other aspects of riding around busy Newport Beach. Of course, my byline is a new vision of urban life where people matter more than motor vehicles. If you enjoy the show and support this kind of content, come by the website and hit my donate button. I have a PayPal donate button, and any kind of a contribution would be greatly appreciated. Well, thank you very much. And of course, while you're on the website, leave a comment behind. April would enjoy hearing from you, and so would I. Well, that's it for today's show. Thanks very much for listening, and good night.